My presentation is How Tomorrow Moves, Creating Opportunities to Increase Physical Activities in Schools. And like Larry mentioned, I am the regional field manager for the Midwest and the Northwest of Action for Healthy Kids, so I oversee states from West Virginia to Washington. I also oversee all of our physical activity programming at Action for Healthy Kids, as well as our urban school wellness work, so working with 10 of the largest urban school districts to make sure that their health and wellness initiatives are happening and are progressive and that they're sharing what they learn from each other. I have no relationships to disclose. So Action for Healthy Kids is a national nonprofit, as I just said, that fights childhood obesity, undernourishment, and physical inactivity by helping schools become healthier places so kids can learn healthier lives. And we are operating under kind of a three-prong approach these days under our Every Kid Healthy campaign, which is a campaign that we're doing with our 75 national partners to get schools to be healthier places across the country. We're doing it through school-level action plans, programs and practices, and school, family, and community partnerships. And the program that I'm going to talk about today is a really good example of a physical activity program as well as a family, school, community partnership. So I'm going to kind of go over this quickly because Kelly did such a great job of outlining this already, but kids do spend the majority of their day or of their time in school. So they're in school for over 1,200 hours, up to 7 to 8 hours a day normally, much like we are as adults at work. But schools' activities for kids to be active are limited and are becoming more limited in this kind of education, math, and reading culture that schools have focused on so much. We know that only 4% of elementary students, only 8% of middle school students, and only 2% of high schoolers have daily physical education. So what we know from that is that kids are not moving enough, and really the research shows that 2 out of every 3 kids are inactive and aren't meeting that daily recommendation of 60 minutes of physical activity a day. But we know, and we know through our partners at Shape America, formerly AFERD, that active schools that have comprehensive physical activity plans are part of the solution because that all of that research shows that active kids really do learn better. So at Action for Healthy Kids, we're really happy to have a really great partner in this effort with us, CSX Transportation. So for those of you who live east of the Mississippi, you might recognize this logo as the railroad company that operates east of the Mississippi. They have a huge number of employees, a huge number of trains, and they're the number one employer in a lot of rural kind of blue-collar towns. And they partnered with us in 2013 for the first year to start the Active Kids campaign, which is on top of their How Tomorrow Moves initiatives. And their goal was really to help us increase the number of children moving in schools and learning about the importance of being physically active. So you might think, why does a railroad company care about that? They have a very active employee wellness initiative at CSX because the research for them and then the outcomes for them show that healthy employees are safe employees, which as you can imagine on the railroad is a really important effort. They also are one of those companies, like I just mentioned, they're the number one employer in a lot of rural towns. So they have a lot of multi-generational families who have worked for the railroad for years and years and years. So they really are interested in getting kids to be healthy from the start and getting employees that come in as, you know, healthy, you know, young employees and also that kind of understand why health and wellness is important. So they're a great partner. I should also mention that all of the pictures on my presentation are from this partnership. There's no stock photos here. I also had a video that I was going to share about our partnership with CSX, but I can share the link with you if you're interested. It actually just got released yesterday into the national media, done by Mother Nature Network, who is another partner of CSX. They're the kind of nonprofit wing of CNN about the program that I'm going to talk about today. So in the 2013-2014 school year, Action for Healthy Kids and CSX partnered to fund 200 schools. 197 successfully completed their grant programs in 10 states. So Alabama, Washington, D.C., Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. You'll note that all of those states are east of the Mississippi. We would love to be able to provide these grants to the West Coast, too. But we need to get a funder to do it. And we reached over 100,000 kids in 86 school districts in the first year. There was a pretty even breakdown of elementary, middle, and high school, an even breakdown of urban, rural, suburban schools throughout those states. And here's what we did with those schools. We took grant applications from schools in those states. We do give higher priority for schools that are higher in need 50% or above, but we don't require schools to have that free and reduced percentage to participate in this program. They submitted an application to us for any kind of physical activity program in their school. And here's how it shook out. So we had, obviously that doesn't add up to 100% because schools were focusing on multiple different things. But we had schools working to get more PE equipment. We had schools working to do refurbishing projects of their play spaces. Cafetoriums are a very real thing, people. Makes life hard. We had people getting recess equipment, people doing fitness testing, schools focusing on brain breaks or instant recess. After school, before school programming, walking and biking initiatives, and then other things like fitness events and community engagement. So really, any way that schools could think of and an innovative strategy to get their kids moving more is what we were looking to fund. And our primary objective was to increase physical activity to at least 30 minutes a day in school and 30 minutes per day outside of school. So working with parents and CSX employees in those school districts to make sure that their kids were moving at home too. And what we found really successfully is that these grants really did help kids get at least 30 minutes of physical activity a day. 93% of our schools that participated reported that their students were getting at least 30 minutes a day, but actually the average number was 56 minutes a day, which is only 4 minutes away from the 60-minute a day national recommendation. So we know that those 100,000 kids that were participating with us in this program were close to meeting that daily recommendation. At least 50% of them were. And here's what we saw in kind of our pre and post survey with our schools. So schools were implementing physical activity initiatives as well as kind of school wellness initiatives in general. All of our grant-funded schools are required to build 5-person wellness teams. So their wellness teams were working on these things across the board. So we saw physical activity initiatives increase, which is good because that was what we were funding them to do. We saw communication to parents and community members increase. We saw physical activity events at the schools increase. I'm going to talk a little bit about why we saw that big of a jump there. We saw a change in policy around physical activity, which is something that we provide resources for our schools for. Increased physical activity in the classroom. Increased recess time, saw the smallest jump there. Much like Kelly was saying, schools are really struggling to have recess right now. So we're glad that it didn't go down, that it went up just slightly. And what we were really happy about recess is that we improved the quality of recess. I live in Chicago. Chicago, for the first time during this school year, required recess for the first time in 30 years. So what they found is that kids didn't know how to do recess when they re-implemented it. So part of our initiative here with the Chicago Public Schools was helping kids learn about what to do in recess. Our second objective was to improve student knowledge, attitudes, and behavior around physical activity. We did a student survey of a representative sample of schools from every state. And we found that 94% of these kids, children, as Larry would say, received the programming well or extremely well, and that the education that was provided through multiple channels. So it might have come through, can she get in? Hi, sorry. Okay. The education that was given might have come through the gym, it might have come through handouts, it might have been at a family event, it might have been in the classroom, it might have been in the cafeteria. So we really encourage schools to spread this message across the board, regardless of kind of the traditional physical activity outlets. And here are some more results from the student survey. I'm not going to read them all to you, but what you can see is that students like to move, right? They're kids. They like to be active. They like to wiggle and bounce and run and jump. And they know it's important, that it's important to them from a self-efficacy standpoint, and their behaviors really did change, and they really were physically active for the recommended number during the school day with their kids. Our third objective was really to engage employees and parents. I'm sure as many of you know, if you work with schools and you tell people outside of kind of this room of public health professionals that you work with schools, they always say, well, what about the parents? Isn't that important too? So we always, in our programming at Action for Healthy Kids, try to include parents and engage them in school wellness. And what we saw through the CSX initiative is that 92% of the parents at these schools receive these messages well or extremely well too. Also providing that education through all multiple channels to parents as well. And what we saw, I think, is really interesting for parents. They, as well as their kids, also think physical activity is important. They talk to their kids about getting physically active through this initiative. It was a nice avenue to kind of remind parents that that conversation is important. It's happening at school, and it's important to have it happen at home. We saw that parents were helping kids be more active, right? Kids don't have, they can't be active all on their own. It's a little easier for kids to be active independently than it is for them to be healthy eaters independently, right? They have a little bit more control over it. But if their parents don't encourage those things for them, then it's really hard for them to do so. So we also saw that actual levels of physical activity, both at school and in the home, increased. And one of the avenues that we take with parents is that we encourage all of our schools to get engaged in Every Kid Healthy Week, which is a National Health Observance Week, the last week of April every year, to celebrate schools' investments and achievements in school wellness. Our first year was in 2013, and we had 89 of our grant-funded schools participate. Last year, we had 485 schools across the country participate. Over 160 of them were CSX-funded schools through our physical activity campaign. And this current year, so in April 2015, we do anticipate that we'll have over 1,300 schools participating. And doing an event during that week or during some time in April to really celebrate health and wellness and the things that they're doing at their schools and engage parents. As I mentioned, we do require all of our grant-funded schools to build 5-person wellness teams. So we also work with them on health and wellness initiatives, the broader health and wellness initiatives in their schools. And we had 84% of our schools in this program report that implementing their physical activity initiative had helped to either sustain their wellness environment or had helped them to initiate new plans, policies, or practices around physical activity or health and wellness in their schools in general. So really getting kids moving more and having a conversation about fitness and physical activity help them have a broader conversation about health and wellness and the policies that they need to implement in their schools. So we do ask them about barriers. We know schools have barriers. Health and wellness is not their number one priority, as we know. And here's what we heard. We heard there's time and scheduling constraints, right? A lot of schools around the country have a required number of reading minutes every day or a required number of math minutes every day. So fitting in physical activity minutes can oftentimes be a challenge. We know there's a financial burden, so our grants are great in this sense, but it's still not a huge budget for them. So for schools that have no budget, their PE teacher has not had a new equipment budget maybe for 5 years. Our grants are great, but they're not going to give you a new gymnasium or a build a fitness trail for you outside of your school. There is a lack of space and a lack of facilities. There's transportation issues if you're trying to start a before or after school program. And then there's a lot of staff transition in health and wellness. So we encourage schools to find kind of that lowest hanging fruit for their wellness team. Get the person who goes to yoga after work or the person who brings their lunch every day that, you know, is a healthy option. But there is a lot of staff transition and turnover in schools, which makes it hard to create a sustainable culture of health and wellness. So all of these things do cause schools to struggle to invest in health and wellness, but we know with partners like Action for Healthy Kids and CSX, it makes it easier for schools, and it takes some of that burden off of their hands, and it's a little bit of a more plug-and-play situation where schools can take the time and take the effort to invest in these initiatives. And we saw 8 common themes that came out of this. We saw that students and staff had an increased awareness about physical activity and when they could be physically active in schools. We saw increased student participation in physical activity when they had an option to participate or not. More students were likely to participate. We saw increased student engagement and enthusiasm about physical activity. They were getting excited to move, which resulted in actual increased levels of physical activity for students and increased physical fitness when fitness assessments were done. We saw that there was increased teacher use and enthusiasm for classroom brain breaks. Like Kelly, we encouraged our grant-funded schools to do classroom brain breaks. A lot of our grant-funded schools use this money to provide classroom brain break kits. So even if that's just a cup with tongue depressors with physical activity options written on them for students or teachers to walk over and grab and kind of plug and play, it allows teachers kind of the enthusiasm to get that done. Like I said, we saw increased parent support and also lots of benefits from new equipment to actually get kids moving. So the lessons that we learned were that partners can really help schools highlight the importance of physical activity without draining their limited time and resources. We also know that by utilizing innovative physical activity strategies and engaging parents, that schools can significantly increase their children's movement throughout the school day and at home. So this year we're really excited. We're working with 287 schools in 12 states now. The original 10 are still with us, and we added Florida and New York this school year. We're reaching over 143,000 kids in 153 school districts. So we're excited to see, when our midterm reports come in, they just went out yesterday. We're excited to see the physical activity minutes that have increased at this time and what will happen for the remainder of the school year. So if you're interested in learning more about this program or reading success stories from it, or just becoming a part of the Action for Healthy Kids Network and engaging with your state team or on a national level, please go to actionforhealthykids.org and take the Every Kid Healthy Pledge. It only takes 10 seconds, but we're building a movement of people who believe in healthy kids, and we'd love to have you join us because we believe every kid deserves to be healthy. Here's my contact information. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions about this program or Action for Healthy Kids or any of the initiatives that we work on or any questions
about one quick
now.
Question. Yes, please.
Time, it's self-reported by the school. So we give them an equation and ask them to include the following types of physical activity. So we ask them to include recess time, physical activity, classroom time, physical education time, before and after school time, and then divide it by the number of students that are in their school that are actually getting those minutes. So it is self-reported. It's not perfect, but we can kind of track it over the long term.
How many of you in here would have thought about contacting and trying to make a partnership with a railroad? Have to think outside, and I hate cliches and all that sort of thing, but thinking outside the box is a perfect example here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.